Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
I think after being in this industry for so many years, and I'm not just putting this on the people that I worked with, but even in my own behavior, and I think in natural human behavior, we have a tendency to look for shortcuts in the things that we want to do. I mean, if you were not raised with methodically going after something step by step by step, having those steps laid out for you, then when we hit certain areas of discomfort, whether it's physical discomfort, whether we get tired or body aches or pains or psychological discomfort because we're hitting a stretch point in our mind when we're going after what we want, or emotional discomfort because it's an area where we need to grow through something, whether it's in business or a relationship, we have a tendency to want to find a shortcut or an easier path to the end result that we want. And the truth is that even when a person makes a quantum leap, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. So here's the first important point to remember about this lesson. That is, it's very easy to connect the dots going backwards based on cause and effect, to see how something was done, to see how something was created, to see how a person, you know, made a journey from one place to another. What we cannot do is to connect the dots going forward. Because even if we have the best laid plans, and we may have even taken the same route over and over and over again, there's always times when we have to be prepared to do something else, to do something extra, to do something that we don't want to do, even maybe to experience a delay in getting what we want. And looking for a shortcut, looking for, or you know, you could even call this the easy out, you know, causes huge problems in people getting what they truly desire in life. One of the reasons is that when we look for a shortcut, we take our focus off the goal. We take our focus off the end game, and we're looking for an easier solution. Based on how the conscious mind and the subconscious mind work together, the truth of the matter is we can't be focused on the correct solution if we're focused on the easier solution. One or two is going to present themselves, and usually the easier solution, when we're looking for an easier solution, is going to lead us down a false trail. So I have 8 precise steps to follow in this process, in that there are no shortcuts, that actually shortcut the process, if you will. This is like a rule where you get to break the rule. Because if you follow the steps within this rule, it is the shortest path to the result that you want. And we'll go through each step in depth so you have a really good understanding of it. So the first thing is, whenever we want something, we have to decide what we want. Decide what we want. When we decide what we want, we have to have clarity around it. It's not just clarity in one place, though. So you can have vision clarity around what you want. You can have desire clarity around what you want. But you also have to have emotional clarity around what it is that you want. And I find that each area has to be as clear as it can possibly be. When one of these areas are fuzzy, or they're not clear, the results tend to be fuzzy and not clear. This is one of the times that'll lead us off to looking for a shortcut path, because if it's not clear on how to get to A, from A to B to C, then we start looking for something that is more clear in our mind. And I think that's really where it starts. When we start looking for a shortcut, we're looking for something that actually appears to be more clear. So the more clear that we are on the end result, deciding exactly what it is that we want, the more clear we can be psychologically, emotionally, and in our desire. So how do we do that? How do we become more clear? That brings us to the second step, asking ourselves, why do we want the thing that we say that we want? And again, clarity runs through each of the eight steps that I'm going to give you. Why do we want the thing that we say that we want? So let's say that you want to build a big business. Let's say that you want to make seven or eight figures. Let's say that you want a great relationship. You have to ask yourself the question, why do I want to do this? Now, why do we ask the question? We ask the question because we are actually trading a portion of our life in order to get the thing that we want. I think that this part is actually of vital importance, because when you're trading your life for something, it's time that you don't get back. You don't ever get that time back. It is the single greatest investment that you ever make in anything, and that is what you give your time to. So it becomes important to know why you're doing that. So many people go through their life and they have absolutely no clue why they're giving their time to different things. True, it's usually based on paradigm. What did we see our parents give our time to? What do we see social groups giving their time to? What do we see friends and family giving their time to? But do you ever stop to think to yourself, why am I choosing to give my time to something? Does it have an equal or a greater benefit to me out of what it is that I'm going to get from this by giving my time to this? Now, if you study people that have accomplished really great things, you will find that they give tremendous amounts of time to one very specific thing. It's called repetition. Repetition. Repetition has been known as the key to success or the mother of success. It is literally when we ingrain the very basics of what we need to do so that when we do it on a regular basis, it is not something that we have to think about any longer. And so it becomes a habit. It literally becomes an internalized habit, a psychological internalized habit, an emotional internalized habit, a desire internalized habit. And it's really important, because if it's not internalized, every time we have to do something, we open the door to looking for a shortcut based on how we're thinking that day, what we're experiencing that day, how we're feeling that day, what's going on in our life that day. And that's what we don't want to do. We want to close the door to shortcuts. Now, that does not mean that if there is an easier way to do something and it's a legitimate way, that we're not going to do it. Of course we're going to do it. But most people are looking for shortcuts because they're trying to avoid something. And they're trying to avoid it because they really don't have a good reason why. Now, when you're going to create your reason why you want to do something, you have to sit down and think to yourself, what is the benefit that I want from the thing that I say that I want? And then you have to make that very, very compelling in your life. Remember, every time, and I think I talked about this in a prior lesson, every time we stop ourselves from doing something, in order for our mind to grasp onto the justification or the rationalization of why we're not going to do it, we make that rationalization very compelling, so compelling that we literally stop ourselves from going forward with the goal that we want. If you're going to break through, you have to make your reason why you're going to do something even more compelling than a reason why you wouldn't do it, or the reason that would cause you to look for a shortcut. It has to be so compelling that you'll do it when you're tired, that you'll do it when you're sick, then you'll do it when you don't feel like it, then you'll do it when things are not going right, you'll do it when there's problems that have shown up in your life, catastrophes that have shown up in your life. The reason to do it needs to be that compelling. And here's the thing, nobody, there's not a person on this planet that can come up with that compelling reason for you. You have to come up with that reason. Now, just a little history into my own life. All my life, I was the type of person that could not get myself to do things that I just didn't want to do, but I knew, based on what I was supposed to do, that I was supposed to do them, but I just couldn't get myself to do them. This, in my early years, this showed up in school. I just couldn't get myself to do the homework. Hated it, hated it, hated it. Had compelling reasons why I didn't want to do it. I wanted to go out and play with my friends. I wanted to go play ball. I wanted to watch TV. I wanted to listen to music. I wanted to do anything but have to go to school all day and then come home and spend 3 or 4 hours doing homework. Was not my thing. Just not my thing. Now, one of the reasons that I didn't do this was because nobody gave me a compelling reason to do it. In my life, nobody was giving me a vision for what could be possible for me if I actually did this work. There was nothing compelling about it. Most of my family went to high school, got a high school graduation, went out and found a job, got married, and start having kids. That was not compelling to me. I knew I wanted to do something more, but I had no idea what that would be, what it could be, what it should be, where to even look for it. And school was not the place that I thought that I was going to get the education that I actually needed. So I had no compelling reason to follow through. Now, this progressively gets worse because without this tool, it becomes a habit. And the habit then is just becomes a reaction to the life that you're setting up for yourself. So I end up working a dead-end job, multiple dead-end jobs, getting fired from dead-end jobs, not being able to move forward in dead-end jobs, and not knowing how to get out of dead-end jobs. And this is where I first started to be introduced to the idea of a compelling reason. Because for me, I had followed the habitual path of my ancestors. I went to school, although I decided to quit because I had just had enough, and went out and got a job, got married, and started having kids. Now, as I'm starting to progress through the first few years of this, things are progressively getting worse and worse and worse. And it was to the point where every day that I would go come home and look at my family with the results that I had created, it was giving me more and more of a compelling reason to make a change, even though I didn't know how to change. Now, this is so important to understand this. Prior to change, a person's reason must be compelling enough in order that they see something different. So if we go back to the very first point in this lesson, deciding what it is that you want, if that reason is not strong enough for you to, number one, recognize what it is, number two, then create the reason why you're going to have this in your life, then chances are you're just satisfied with the way things are. and nothing much is actually going to change. So you need to sit down and you need to look at your past, you need to look at your present, you need to look at the future prospects of what it is that you're doing to come up with a compelling reason. And we're going to talk more about this in a little bit. Let's move on to number three. In coming up with a compelling reason, you have to be prepared to decide what you're willing to give up to get it. Now, you'll hear this point in many different lessons that I do because it's so very, very important to understand. In order to get anything new, we have to give up something. When we say, I'm going to make a change, I'm going to make a change in my habits, in my exercise, in my relationship, in my finances, I'm going to make a change in my house, I'm going to make a change in my living room. Anytime we make a change, we move things from one space to another. And two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. So, if you are going to really go after what you want, the first thing that we have to understand is that you have to give up the way that you're thinking about the way where you are currently so that you're not satisfied with that any longer. You have to give up your emotional attachment to it. You have to give up the desire to stay the same, safe, or certain. And you have to be willing to replace those things with the intellectual idea of what you want, the desire in your heart for what it is that you want, and then the emotional capacity to be able to get it. That's just the first three things. This can go on and on and on, depending on what it is specifically that you really want. But you have to be able to say to yourself, I'm willing to give up whatever it takes in order to get it. If you can't say that, your reason for doing it is not compelling enough. So then you go back to number two and you start working back on that reason again. Every time you hit a place where you say, I'm not willing to give that up. I'm not willing to give up any more time. I'm not willing to give up any more money. I'm not willing to work any harder. Your reason is not compelling enough to go after the thing that you say that you want, the thing that you're saying that you're trading your life for. Number four, when we look for shortcuts, it's because there is something that we don't want to do. Now, when we look for shortcuts, there's something that we don't want to do. This is an identifier, okay? The idea is this. There are going to be things that you're going to have to learn to do, that you're going to, habits that you're going to have to break, new habits that you're going to have to build, knowledge that you're going to have to seek, things that are going to stretch you outside of your comfort zone in order to get what you want. The very moment that we come into contact with something that we don't want to do, it is going to trigger us to look for a shortcut. It's going to say, I don't want to do that. Isn't there an easier way? And in the industry that I'm in, we call that bright, shiny object syndrome. People are constantly looking for an easier way to do something that they don't want to do. Every business, everything in life has very basic fundamentals that once you begin to integrate those fundamentals into who you are, the thing that you want becomes easier because it's integrated. You don't have to think about it. It becomes habitual. You also learn the basic premise of everything that you're doing so that if you come across a challenge, you have the rudiments of basically how to handle that challenge no matter what it is. But if every time you come up against something that you don't want to do, excuse me, you say to yourself, I want to find something easier to do, I want to find a faster way to get there, then you're actually diminishing the possibilities of you actually getting there. It's not good. We look for shortcuts when we don't want to do something. So the next step is to identify what you don't want to do. Identify it. Let's not run from it. Let's not let it sneak up on us. Identify the things that you don't want to do. I'm sure that whatever it is that you do want, you're going to know specifically certain things that come up that aren't all that appealing to you that you're probably going to have to do. For most people, these areas come up around time, money, and relationships. Those are the three big ones. There might be something else in there. I'm sure that there is when you start to look hard, you know, deep enough into what it is that you're doing. But those are the three big ones: time, money, and relationships. Identify what you don't want to do. Number six is to really sit down and spend some time and ask yourself, why don't you want to do it? Why don't you want to do it? What are we doing here? Well, we're taking the illusion off of the thing that we don't want. When we say we don't want to do something, there could be a number of reasons why we don't want to do this. But the basic reason is there's something internal that we're resisting changing. That's what it comes right down to. There's something internal that we're resisting changing. So we have to think to ourselves, why don't I want to do this? If I do this thing and it's going to give me the result that I want, why don't I want to do it? Now, if your mind starts going, because there has to be an easier way, there has to be a better way, the answer for you is you just don't want to do that work, period. You don't want to do the work. Why? Maybe your work ethic is weak. Maybe you need to build on your work ethic. Maybe your emotional congruency is off. You're not emotionally congruent with your compelling reason. These are disciplines that we have to bring ourselves back to every day if we're actually going to break through. But you have to identify why you don't want to do it. You need to write it down. And then you need to give yourself, again, a compelling reason to break through this area. That's number seven. A compelling reason to break through. Look, these are strategies that the best of the best use. Some of them are unconscious competence. Some of them know exactly what it is that they're doing. Success itself is not that difficult if we can get ourselves to do the work. That's the most important point. You have to be able to show up every day and get yourself to do the work. So when we find something that we don't want to do, if we will identify it, we will sit down, we will look at it straight in the eye, we'll ask the question, why don't I want to do this? Be completely and brutally honest with yourself as to why you don't want to do it. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't blame it on anybody else. Why don't you want to do this? And then come up with a compelling reason to do it. Because the thing that you need to do is not going to change. It's not going to change because you don't want to do it. It's not going to change because you have to do it. It's not going to change because somebody else tells you to do it. It's not going to change because you think that there's an easier way. It's only going to change when you come up with a compelling reason to say, I am going to break through this and I am going to accomplish the desire. I'm going to accomplish the vision. I'm going to accomplish the dream. I'm going to break through and actually get the goal. Which brings us to number eight. Do the work. Do the work. I think it's rather sad that we're living in an age where people are getting away from the basic tenet in life of a solid work ethic. Work is the only thing that brings you anything that you desire. If you have a poor work ethic, You have to work on your work ethic. You have to work on your work ethic. At one time, I had a poor work ethic. It was primarily based on the fact that if you're programmed with too much pain around the things that you're supposed to do, you're not going to want to do them. But here's what I found out along my own journey, was that there were times in my life where I would do something that I loved to do, and I would work night and day, day and night. I would break through any obstacle that it took, overcome any hurdle that was put in my way in order to get whatever it was that I wanted at that time in my life. And I thought, you know, it's not so much that I have a poor work ethic. I have an ethic in my mind of looking for an easier way to do something when there's something that I don't want to do. So in the beginning, everything was filled with stuff that I didn't want to do. It was a fantastic lesson for me to make myself do the work every single day so that I could get better and put myself in a position where success could actually start to see me, just like Hill talks about in Think and Grow Rich. He said there's no point in starting from the bottom and working your way up, because very few people ever get to the place where success can actually see them. And I remember when I first read that, I thought, how the hell does success ever see you? But it's true. Success always comes initially into a person's life as the form of an opportunity to do something different, to be something more, to have something more, to contribute something more, to learn something more. And it requires that we have not only a burning desire to do that, but we have compelling reasons to change. Now, if the very foundation of what's going to bring that into your life is weak, which is your work ethic, it's not going to come. It just absolutely will not come. You will completely stay stuck. You'll be paralyzed every single day. You will look at the things that you're supposed to do and you'll do something entirely different. There's absolutely no way that you're going to get around this. Nobody does. It doesn't matter what they do. And don't fall into the hallucination that other people are working less and getting 10 times more than you are. Everybody's day is filled with the same 24 hours, and everybody's doing something during that 24 hours. The question is, what are they doing to get the result that they want? I'll guarantee you, without exception, every person who's getting what they want through a conscious effort of decision and desire, of going after what they want, has a solid work ethic. Do the work, and the rewards will come.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.